Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's drum roll, please. Let me turn your attention to the back of the auditorium and introduce you to my newest member of the McKay family. Black Gold is her name. Woo! This is awesome. This thing, y'all, look, right here, right there. One, that's it, right there. Yeah. Now, it's not how strong I am, okay? Though I am a very brawny person, yes. Okay, thank you, Kelsey. We'll just put it right there, that there. Hey, man, some of you are visiting today and saying, what is going on here? Well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out what's going on here in just a minute. Because the message today is really about, it's about the principle behind this bike. For those that are new, the church provided me with $5,000 to buy a road bike. They were hoping that it would come in about $1,500, $2,000, but because of your generosity, over $5,000. That's incredible. It's incredible. Thank you. And I know some of you are like, oh, you know, who would spend that much money on a bike? Well, some of you spend that much money on fishing equipment. You'll spend that much money on tools. You'll spend that much money on a nice car or whatever. You'll spend a lot of money on something nice. And people have asked me the difference. What's the difference? Just looks like a regular old bike to me. Anybody remember the Ford Pinto? Okay. You remember the Ford Pinto? That bike, my old bike, Ford Pinto, okay, is what it is. This is Cadillac Escalade right here, buddy. I mean, and honestly, anybody knows bikes knows once you get on a nice bike, you can tell exactly. There was a guy in our church, they're not a part of our church now, they've moved away, but his bike cost $15,000. So I'm just telling you, these things are very expensive. You're always going to spend at least $1,500 to $2,000 on a bike, a nice road bike. And so this bike actually was a little over $4,000 plus tax. Is what this bike costs. It'll last me the rest of my life, the guy said. So I'm very, very happy. For those that are looking for a bike, go to CycleWorks here in Lake Jackson, Clute. So a couple of you bought bikes there, and that's great. They're the ones, where the gift card came from. And like that old bike out there, that's like an academy bike. I would say I would average, if I were really trying just to get an average speed, maybe 15, 16 miles an hour would be average on that bike. On this bike, anywhere from 19 to 21 miles an hour. I mean, that's the difference. That's a significant difference, and I just love it. I took it out to Palacios, did a bike ride there, 38 miles, and with the people, it was just fantastic. I just got off. My muscles were a little tired. Ben can attest to this. Maybe the muscles were tired, but the back, the hips, the knees, the ankles, the elbows, the shoulders, everything else was great. So that's just the difference, you know, because most of the time you're going to ride 38 miles, you're not going to feel too good afterwards, all right? So anyway, so the message today is testimonial. It's what the principle behind this bike. And so today I want to talk with you about living under the blessing of God. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, let's see here. Get to where I need to be. Okay. Okay, very good. Living under the blessings of God. And here's the big idea. If you're taking notes, here it is. When we enter into friendship with God through faith in Jesus, it opens every part of our life to true kingdom living. Every part of our life. And there's a lot to this message today, and I'm not going to go through, like, exegetically break down Romans 4 and Galatians. It would just take too long. Since this is more testimonial, it's really just about how these verses have applied to my life and can apply to yours as well. So in Romans chapter 4, Paul's talking about the forefather of our faith, which is Abraham. And it begins in verse 13, where I want to draw your attention. He says, clearly God's promise is to give the whole earth, say whole earth. Whole earth. Say it again, whole earth. He gives the whole earth to Abraham and to who? His descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a righteous relationship with God that comes through faith. So we're made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. So the promise is received by faith. I receive this promise how? But I receive the promise that that the whole earth is mine by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it whether or not we live according to the law of Moses or not. Look at verse 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about the age of 100, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. They're both incredibly old. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. In this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced. Say, fully convinced. Other, fully persuaded. Say that, fully persuaded. He was a guy who was fully persuaded, fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Continue on through verse 25. And because Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded. It was for our benefit as well. It was for our benefit as well. Say that with me. It was for our benefit as well. Amen. Guys, the stage lights just went out. Did y'all? The big lights here? I don't know what happened there. Okay. This is not only for Abraham's benefit, it is for our benefit. Assuring that God will also count as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. So now let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. It's important that you go here with me because this thing is based upon what we're reading, okay? This bike is based upon what we're reading. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. He says, in the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to the time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." All nations will be blessed. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. I'll just stop right there. We receive the same blessing. We receive the same blessing Abraham received for his faith. Because my faith is in Jesus, and I fall under Abraham's blessing who had faith in Jesus. I'm part of his genealogy, spiritual genealogy. Then all the promises he experienced, I get to experience. All the blessings he lived under, I can now live under. Here's what's going on in some of your minds right now. You are hitting your brakes real hard. You're saying, "Man, I don't know about that. I'm just kind of believing I'm going to go to heaven when I die. You know, that's it. Going to live a good life down here. I'm not sure I can live under Abraham's blessings." He says these blessings were not just for Abraham. They were for him. They were for us as well. So what are the blessings of Abraham? Here they are. I'm just going to give them to you real quick up on the screen. Three. You can look at these three. You can look at more, but I'm just going to spend a little time on these three. Number one is that we are now friends of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. He lived under the blessing. James chapter 2 says he was a friend of God. And guess what? I'm a friend of God. That's what John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants. You are now my friends." We are all friends with God. So that's really, really good news. And so if you're here today, look, if you're here today and there's a bit of condemnation in your life, and there's fear in your life about God and feel like I'm not living up to what he's wanting me to live, and he probably didn't like me that much, or maybe he does like, I know he loves me, but he probably didn't enjoy me because I'm always so inconsistent, so apathetic, I just don't do what I know I'm supposed to do. Let me tell you something. You've not been made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So if you fear condemnation from God, if you fear judgment from God, if you fear, if you have shame, if you have guilt, you've not been made perfect in his love. And there's some of us here today, we've been Christians for a long time, but yet we walk in this relationship with God. It's like, "Well, I know he loves me, but I just feel so distant. There's just something going on. I guess I've done something. I feel like he's angry at me." Would you listen to me? God's never angry at his kids, okay? He's never angry at his kids. He loves his children. He disciplines his children. He corrects his children, but it's never out of anger. It's always out of love. I've had people there in the past say, "Well, I've done some things. I know God's upset at me because I've done these kind of things." Look, you are a friend of God. God And he's condoned your sin, so that's okay. You go ahead and do what you want to do. No, he loves you. He wants the best for you. He's correcting you to, so you will do the best because he wants the best for you. But it's not coming out of this sort of, I'm put out. I'm put off. You're upsetting me. I'm angry at you. You know who does that? You do, okay? I do. Not him. Comes from a different place. Comes from a place of love. So this now, we have this friendship with God. The other thing about Abraham is that he lived from a place of abundance and prosperity. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, you can look at that. He lived in complete prosperity. Look, there is no person outside of Jesus that's ever lived that's been more influential than Abraham. No one. The most fruitful person that ever lived. And guess what? God's will for you is that you be fruitful. We know it from Genesis 3 or Genesis 2. Be fruitful and multiply. God wants that. But Genesis 15, Jesus says, it is to God the Father's glory, great glory, that you produce much good fruit. Amen. He wants you to produce a lot of fruit. He wants you to be fruity. Amen? He does. He does in every part of your life. He wants you to produce a ton of fruit, to be prosperous, to be loved, to be a loving person. And some of you think, well, I've done a pretty good life. I mean, he's like, man, there's a whole lot more. There's really a lot more. And it's not just about activity. It's just that out of your life, he wants it to flow river. It's not a river, right? What is it? It's rivers. It's plural. He doesn't want just a river of life coming out of you. That's what he says. But from your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. So it's productivity. He loves it. Look, how many kids did Abraham have? Not a hard question. How many kids did he have? I'm not trick. One. And from that one child, and from Abraham, how many have come? Look across this room. Look across this room, right? Everybody here that has faith in Jesus, all look back to our forefather in the faith, Abraham. And not only us, but so does every Jew, and so does every Muslim. The Muslims look to Abraham and say he's the forefather of our faith. They trace their lineage through Ishmael. I'm not saying they're believers, you know, their faith is not in Jesus, but I'm just saying that they look to him, and God said to Abraham, your descendants, the people that will descend from you, will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. And friend, that is exactly what happened. We're talking billions. Billions of people all look to Abraham and say, he is the father of our faith, whether they have genuine faith or not. Fruitful. God wants you to be real fruitful. God wants you to be prosperous as well. Abraham was a rich person. He was taken care of financially. God blessed him in every way. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. He was a healthy person. How old did Abraham live to be? Anybody know? Real old, right? Yeah. 175 years old. Right? 170. Anybody want to live to 175? Because we look at some 70-year-olds, man, I never want to be that old, you know, look like that. But hey, if you were 175 and you were vital all the way up to 174 years of age, man, let's go for it. Let's do it, okay? Let's do it. He lived a... God wants you to live a healthy, prosperous life. It's his will. It's his will. So that's why he's giving you your body. You're supposed to take care of it. Honestly, look, here's what some of us say. Well, the days of my life are ordained by God, and however long I live, how long he lives, wanted me to live. If you live an unhealthy lifestyle, you're cutting short those days. You're cutting short. You say, well, I just think that's how long I was supposed to live. No, if you eat wrong, if you don't take care of your body, you got to give account to him for that one day. There's a certain number of days. We're to live healthy lives. We're to take care of our bodies. God wants us to prosper in that way. The other thing I have on here is that he was exalted. He was exalted over his enemies just as we have been exalted over our enemies. Because as the Bible says in 1 John, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We see, and Jesus said in John chapter 16, that the God of this earth cursed system, I'm adding earth cursed, but the God of this world, of this earth cursed system, is condemned. And we have victory over him. We've been exalted. Look, I want to tell you about this exaltation. It isn't just in that we have spiritual victory over the devil. God wants you exalted in every place that you live in. Every place. Geographically, in your work world, in your relationships, he wants you exalted. Not so people say, oh, isn't he great? Isn't she great? Aren't you a great leader? That, I'm not talking about that kind of exaltation, like, you know, you're going to be the leader, the boss of everything. But through your integrity, through the way you deal with problems, the way you interact with people, people say, man, I want to be like him. The way you take care of yourself, the way you give yourself to people, the way you work hard, where other people look at it and say, man, I can just tell, that guy, he's the kind of example I want to be. He's the kind of example I want to follow. That's what God, when I say exalted, that's the way he had an anointing on his life. And 1 John says that anointing is now where? Where's that anointing? It is on us, right? As a follower of Jesus Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon me. He wants me exalted. Not again like, oh, there, I'm the leader, everybody should follow me. Not like that, but in the sense of, wow, look at his life. I can see how God's touched him. I can see how God, and people may not even be able to put language to it. They may not be able to say, you know, I can tell they're a person of faith, but they can just say, man, the way he carries himself, the way, the wisdom that comes out, the way they just work with people, there's just something different. That's this exaltation. That's the way Abraham was. That is a blessing. What are all these things? Hey, look up at the screen. These are all blessings that God wants us to live under. Can I hear an amen? Man, okay, all right. Y'all look a little bored. This is like really important, okay? All right, why is this important? Why am I harping on this? You say, I thought you were going to talk about a bike. Now, I am going to get to the bike. It's very secondary. But the bike all has to do with this blessing. Because if I'm under Abraham's blessing, then everything I have falls under that blessing. Why is it important that I know this? This that I've just talked about. You see, this kingdom principle that I'm about to release to you in a moment all emanates from relationship. It all emanates from this relationship with God. It all emanates from being under the blessing of Abraham. This principle, look, what I'm going to tell you, this principle, if you disconnect it from relationship, will lead to disaster. Because all of a sudden it becomes entitlement. I'm doing what you told me to do, and you're not doing your part. God, you said do this. I'm doing it. Why don't you do what you're supposed to do? It becomes entitlement. And it becomes manipulation. Well, I'm going to do this, so I make him do that. Listen to me, friend. I'm his child. He wants to bless me. Amen? Amen. And I get to experience some of that blessing here, but I get to experience all of it in eternity. And so I may not get to express some of it here. That, yeah, and that's okay. It's like, because I know he's good. He loves me. I'm his kid. And so I'm going to get to experience the next life. Here's the deal. Some of us have been taught this principle that I'm about to release, but it's always been taught in the sense it's just a principle. And it's not been taught in relationship. And so it's important that you understand God wants to bless us. And when he does, we give him thanks. And when he doesn't, we still give him thanks because he's still good. And that blessing is going to be on the other side of eternity. Here's the thing. I start from a place in which I know he loves me. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, amen? He's good, he's good. He's good, he's good, he's good. So I always start from that place. I know he's good. He's really good to me. I don't start from the place of being a servant. In Luke chapter 15, you have the story of the prodigal son, right? You know, the guy that goes and he spends all his money crazy. And the prideful son stays home. And what does the prideful son say when the prodigal comes home? He goes to his dad and says, why did you do that? You squandered your money. And you've never even given me so much as a goat for me to have a party. I have slaved for you all these years. And you've never given me anything. And what does the father say? Oh, son, everything that I have is yours. You see, he was a son. He was always a son. But he served him like a slave. And that's the thing. We've got to quit operating like, I deserve this. You've got to do this for me. We've got to operate as sons, knowing that everything that the Father has is mine. Yep. Everything that the Father has is mine. Wow. So here we go. All right. There you are, right there. Very good. On the screen. You live under a rainbow. You live under a rainbow. You live under the blessing of God. His blessings are always pointing towards you. Always. God loves you as much today as He will love you in eternity. It's not like you're going to get to heaven one day, and all of a sudden, God's going to say, oh, because you're here, I'm going to give you the bonus package. Now you're really going to know. No, you got as much love now as you will have in eternity. You see, God's love is like the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun are always the same, right? Right? It's not like one day they get hotter and the next day they get cool, and that's the separation between summer and fall. You know, summer ends on September 20th. On September 21st, the rays of the sun become less. That doesn't happen. What happens? Why do we? What's the difference? Shift, right? It's not because the rays change. The rays are always the same. They're always the same. What happens is that there's a shift. Do you understand what I'm saying? Symbolically, spiritually? His blessings always are coming at me, but there's a shift in me that keeps me. And there's some things that are resisting me from experiencing. For instance, there's just the culture of the world that's always resisting. There's also just my general, what I would just say, brokenness that's always that in my life. My DNA, my genetic code, it's broken. I mean, it's yes, God heals, He restores, but I'm still, you know, progressing physically. My body does wear out, so there's that brokenness. There is another thing that's always resisting. It's this right here, and that's just the demonic realm. It's just the devil. He's always resisting. But there's one other area that's always keeping me from experiencing the blessing of God. It's always working against me, oftentimes. And it's right here. Let's see if I can draw it in. It's not your hair, okay? It's not your hair. It is what? What is that? It's your mind. It's your unrenewed mind. It's the way you think. The way you think. Because right now, some of you are thinking, I know God blesses me, but I just don't know that I can live under the blessing of Abraham. I don't know that that applies to my health. I don't know that it applies to my finances. I don't know that that applies to my relationships. What is that? What's going on right there? This is it right here. It's this unrenewed mind. This mind that is still thinking the thoughts of the world and not thinking the thoughts of God. You are thinking in terms of your experience. You're thinking in terms of what you were taught. You're thinking in terms of the bad things that have happened in your life. That's what you're thinking in terms of. You're not thinking God's thoughts. You're not thinking the way He thinks and the way life is really supposed to be. There is no difference between His love down here and His love up here. Zero. You don't get there and get more. You get as much here as you will get there. The only thing that is hindering are these elements right here. And the biggest one, the one you have the most control over, is right above your eyebrows, okay? Point to it. Would you do that with me? It's right here. It's this unrenewed mind. The mind that thinks more like the world and more like your experience than it does like God wants it to think. That's the one thing. There's nothing that separates us from the love of God. Nothing in this life except this one thing. Sin doesn't even separate us from the love of God because we can confess sin. We can say, man, I know I'm a sinner. God, forgive me. Forgive me for sinning. And He does that. The thing that separates us from really experiencing the full measure of the love of God is this. Right here. There's more. There's more. Like today, I can experience more. I was going to give you all an example. I don't have time to give you an example. I've got a great example. One day I'm going to preach a message on it. It's going to blow your mind. All right, let's see. God relates to us as perfectly today as He will in eternity. There's no change in the intensity of His blessing and favor from this life to the next, but only my ability to experience with a renewed mind. You have to start with we have to start with this relationship, and you have to understand that there are blessings that God wants to bring into my life that I can only experience. I can only experience truly when my mind is renewed. Let me get back to my screen here. And so here's the kingdom principle. Whoa! See, you told me that. I'm so sorry. Give me a minute, y'all. I don't know what I'm doing here. Here we go. Let's see. Let's see. Telestrator. They told me that would happen. Okay. There we go. Kingdom principle. Say it with me. Whatever you plant, you will harvest. Whatever. Luke chapter 6, 35, 33 through 38 says this. You plant compassion, guess what you get back? You plant forgiveness, guess what you get back? You plant judgment, guess what you get back? And not only do you get a little bit of compassion, not only do you get a little bit of judgment, you get a lot. When you plant one seed, you get multiple seeds in return. You don't just get a little bit of compassion, a little bit of love, a little bit of forgiveness. You get a lot of it. And you hold and you have a negative heart and you have criticism, you have unforgiveness. You get that back and you get it back in abundance. It's just a principle. That's what Jesus says here. It is a principle. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the other thing that he says is that when you sow financially, he's talking about taking up a special offering for the church at Jerusalem. He says, look, to this church at Corinth, he says, look, if you sow financially a little bit, you'll get back a little bit in return. But if you sow generously financially, you will get a much in return. It's just a principle. You can't get around it. It is a principle of the kingdom. And then he says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, he says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. That's the justice of God. That's how the kingdom works. You're always going to get back what you plant. You can't get around it. It's true in the natural. It's true in the spiritual. And so he says, those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you do not give up. So folks, look, I live under the blessing of Abraham, okay? I live under that blessing. Amen. And for me to access that blessing, it requires faith and action. I have to believe, I'm fully persuaded, God wants to bless me. That's faith. Action is, therefore, I have to do something. And so that's why we talk about tithing. Tithing is part of living under the blessing of Abraham financially. If you wanted God to bless your finances, you got to tithe. I'm telling you, if every person, if every congregation in America were to tithe today, we wouldn't hardly need the government. People are saying, well, why is the church so greedy? They only just want their money, just my money. I want to tell you something. If 100% of the people tithe instead of just 15% of the people tithing, folks, we'd be able to give your money away like you would not believe. Not only us, I'm talking about every congregation. We could take care of every social problem there ever was, possibly, if everybody would just tithe. It's just, and then God would bless. Why has the United States of America been blessed so much? It's a nation under God. I mean, financially, God says, I'm just going to bless this nation because it's a nation that's been founded upon me. And what is true of the nation, and though we're seeing a decline of it in areas, it's still true of us as well. God wants to bless us, but you got to follow the principle. And the principle is you got to sow. You got to tithe. The blessings are activated by faith. So, okay, you're saying, all right, Pastor, where are you going? What are you doing? Here we go. So how do you walk this out? There you go. So let's go to the bike. Here we go. This whole message is about, now culminates with this thing right here. So the Lord's teaching me about this sowing and planting thing. Sowing and in being in relationship with God, being through Abraham, receiving that blessing and understanding the principle, the kingdom principle of sowing and planting, of planting and harvesting. See, here's what I used to think. I'm going to give and God's just going to bless me. That's just the way it is. And it's true. He does do that. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to be specific. The more specific you are, the more specific your return. If I just plant a handful of seeds, what am I going to get? Right? If I just go grab a bunch of seeds, what am I going to get? Just whatever. But if I plant a tomato seed, what am I going to get? I'm going to get tomato. And so I said, back in April, I said, the Lord's teaching me this thing of sowing and harvesting. He said, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give $50 Well, first of all, Jerry Boyette, who's not here today, should be here today, but he's going to be here next week. Jerry Boyette has a road bike. That's what this is. It's a road bike. It's a nice road bike. In fact, the brand is Scott, is what it is. So anyway, he's got this nice road bike, and I said, I want that road bike. I'd like that road bike. Because the bike I was riding, it's exactly not that bike. It's another bike, which it's fine, but it's not a good road bike. I said, I want a road bike. I want a road bike. And then the Lord said, okay, well, sow for it. Sow for it. Plant a financial seed for it. I said, okay. So Bernice Gay, who was part of this congregation, is now deceased. But back in April, he was raising money for his kidney. Wanted a kidney transplant. So I gave to that. We gave to that. $50. $50. And I said, we're going to use this. Bless Bernice with it. But God, we're also asking that this seed is being planted specifically for. I'm specifically planting the seed to have a road bike better than Jerry Boyette's road bike. And I wrote it in my journal. And that's what I said. I planted a financial seed of $50 to Bernice Gay's Kidney Fund for a road bike better than Jerry Boyette's. His road bike's worth about $1,500, $2,000, whatever. Is that much? I said, okay. So there we go. And here's the deal. There's always the pause. There's always the waiting between the amen, the so be it, and there it is. Right? I said, amen. So be it. So be it, Lord. I'm doing this thing. So we just waited. So the Saturday before, y'all blessed me. Like, I'm on Craigslist looking for bikes. Thinking, okay, God's either going to provide a miracle and the money or the bike or something's just going to appear, or he's going to give me the means. So the means for me meant about $300. I'm going to spend $300. I'm going to get a bike better than Jerry Boyette's bike. That's what was so Saturday, but all day Saturday, I had this feeling, something good's about to happen to you, something good. Honestly, it was just like this. And I thought, did I just drink too much caffeine? What's going on? I just thought, honestly, it was this giddy kind of feeling. I thought, well, okay, I don't know what to do with that, but I'm happy. So anyway, so I show up that Sunday, and of course, y'all do what you did. And how much was it? It was over $5,000. $5,000. Now, I'm not going to say he's always going to bless you 100 times more than what you give, because that's not going to be the case. But it just happened to be the case for me that day. And so here was the temptation. When y'all did that, I went to the bicycle shop. Again, for those that weren't here, they made sure that the card was specifically to Cycle Works. It wasn't like a general gift card. It was to Cycle Works. So when I went there, I thought, you know what? I may just get two bikes is what I may do. But neither one of them would really be as much as Jerry's bike. So I said, doggone it, I'm going to get a $4,000 bike is what I'm going to do. So it's twice as good as Jerry's bike. Look, here's the thing. I was fully persuaded. I live under the blessing of Abraham. Here's the principle. You live under the blessing of Abraham. The principle is you sow and then you harvest. And so from that time, from April to September, just waited. And let me give you the things that you need to do. And I'm just going to put them all up on the screen at the same time. I was going to go through them one by one. Just look at them there. This is how it works. Be fully persuaded that God wants to bless you. You got to believe that. You really got to believe. You may say, well, I'm not sure. Maybe he does. I'm not sure. He wants to bless you. You're his kids. Everything I have, Luke 15, everything I have, the Father says, is yours. Second thing is be specific with it. And look, it doesn't always have to be about stuff. We were with David Lohan at the March for Remembrance. Back when was that, David? In April, May, March? Okay, we was at the March for Remembrance there in Galveston. So I sold money for the salvation of the Jews. Now, will I ever see that? No, one day I will. In eternity, I will see that. I sold for Aaron's job. We sold a certain amount of money for Aaron's job. He's got a job. Whoa. Amen. We're happy. Whoa. That was one of those, you know. Let me tell you how this also worked. I'll give you another example, just a real practical example. So we sold a certain amount of money to take our kids on vacation and not go into any further debt or any debt. For our vacation, we're going to go to Moe Ranch near Kerrville, Texas, take our family in September. So when did we sow that money? Was it June or July? We sowed that money. I said, okay, Lord, we're asking that in believing that you want to bless us financially so we don't have to go into debt to take our kids on vacation. And so I'm you know, in the Air Force and was doing an annual training day one Friday up at the base. And it's one of the 15 days of the year that I have to do beyond my monthly service. And so I was up there, and I had to take something to the commander's suite to get a signature. And by the way, I'm so sorry. Colonel Jones was going to be here today, but I asked him not to come because I knew the service would go long. And I didn't want to have to kind of back off on him. But my colonel will be here at some point in the future to talk with you. But anyway, so I walk into the commander's suite, and I'm getting a signature, and I'm walking out, and one of the colonels looks at me. She said, "Oh, Chaplain McKay, we want you to know that we've been given like a ton of extra annual training days, and you can have as many training days as you want between now and it's the end of September." And I thought, okay, I'll do that. And so because of that, I was able to work all these Fridays and raise enough, have enough money so that we could go on vacation and not have to go into any debt. See, what I pray for is, Lord, give a miracle. Or give us the means, which is like the extra work that they provided for me there. That was just, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time while that colonel happened to be there. It was a 2-second window. It's not happenstance, right? I had planted for it. God said, "I heard it, and here's the answer to it." So be specific. Be in agreement with somebody else. And I want to say this for some of you here. There's things that you want to sow seed for. You need to find somebody who has faith for it with you. Okay? And I want to tell you, I got faith for it with you. So if you're here today and you say, "I want to plant a seed," and you're not sure if that spouse or that friend is going to stand, I'll stand with you. Okay? So talk with me. Give me a call. Come down at the end of the service. Whatever. We'll visit. Get together this week. Release it with a "so be it" and it's done. And then be thankful as you wait. That is the principle. And again, going back to the big idea, is that every part of our life, we can live under true kingdom blessing. And I'd encourage you, as I did a couple of weeks ago, or months ago, to get this book by Gary Cassay. Read this book. This is not a book about finances. It's about how the kingdom works. Okay? It is a book about how the kingdom works. Huh? He has got a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. And it's the thing that sets Gary apart from other people that kind of teach this is Gary's all about relationships and understanding this is about a relationship with the Father. It's not just a principle. Good stuff. Amen. I love y'all. Y'all are good people. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Let's stand together. Thank you for hanging with me. I know it was a little bit longer than normal, but I believe this. If you'll start living out this principle, hey folks, let me tell you something. I'm keeping a tally of how the Lord has blessed us since we've learned this principle. It's in the tens of thousands of dollars. Okay? And it's not always going to be financial. I'm just saying for us, this is the way it's been. I'm not saying it's always going to be immediate, for it may not be. But I am saying it works. You will reap what you sow. So would you bow with me? And let me get, Gene, if you wouldn't mind, would you take this to the back? I'll get you, help me out here. Take that. You got it. Sean, get this for me, brother. Take that back there too. Okay, let's pray. If you're visiting with us for the first time, my wife and I will be in the back by the bikes, by my boys back there. And we got a special gift we want to bless you with. And again, if you're here and you want somebody to stand with you in faith with the seed that you want to sow, I will do that. Just talk with me today or sometime this week. Father, I thank you that knowing you is really not hard, that there's nothing that separates us from your love. And I pray, Lord, for us today as a congregation that you would bring a renewal of our minds, that we would begin thinking your thoughts as much as possible in this life. And I pray, Lord, that cloud, that just junk, those past experiences, the way we have viewed life, that it would become unsettled in us. We wouldn't just continue down the same paths we've gone down forever unchecked, but we would begin checking assumptions, experiences, and beliefs according to how you believe. So I ask right now for release, for breakthrough in people's lives, to think your thoughts and to know you the way you want them to know you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'd ask our prayer team to come on down front. They'll be available for prayer for you. And now, would you please receive this blessing from the Lord? Just open up your hands. Amen. As we speak a benediction from Numbers chapter 6, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor. And may the Lord this week give you his peace. Amen.